Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Cyient Q1 FY 2018 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Janice. Good evening to everyone. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you to the Cyient Quarter One FY 2018 earnings call. We have with us the senior management of Cyient, headed by Mr. B.V.R. Mohan Reddy, along with senior members of the management team. Without further ado, I will hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Agarwal to start the proceedings. Thanks. Over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, Sandeep. Let me just welcome all of you to the Cyient's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2017-18, ended June 30th, 2017. I am Ajay Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer for the company. Present with me on this call is also Executive Chairman, Mr. B.V.R. Mohan Reddy, and also Mr. Krishna Bodanapu, who is our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Let me make the customary statement that I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available on our investor update, which has been emailed to you and also posted on our corporate website. As usual, this will be accompanied with the presentation like we have been doing every quarter. Now I would request Mr. Mohan Reddy to provide a brief overview of company's performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2017.
Thank you, Ajay. A very good evening to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to this conference call. Q1 financial year 2018 was in line with our expectations, both in terms of revenue as also margin. We saw strong year-on-year revenue growth of 12.8% in US dollar terms at $141 million. For services business, we saw a year-on-year revenue growth of 12.4% and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 3.2%. The services business at $129 million is the highest ever revenue we grossed for this company. The growth in our services business was driven by communications, transportation, and semiconductor business units. The design-led manufacturing, DLM business, continues to improve performance and delivered a double-digit growth year-on-year. We have a robust year-on-year operating growth at 6.5% in INR terms at rupees 1,160 million, despite wage hike and rupee appreciation. For the quarter, we saw a net profit year-on-year growth of 18.7% at rupees 878 million or 87.8 crores. Cash and cash equivalent crossed the 10 billion rupee number. For the first time ever, that's 1,000 crores of cash. Precisely, we have 1,032 crores, which is highest ever in this company's history. The free cash flow, FCF, generated stands at 468 million rupees or 64.8 crores, which is 43% of our EBITDA. Attrition has come down, both voluntary as well as involuntary attrition together are at about 18.5%, which is the lowest ever in the last 11 quarters. Recognizing our focus on strategy, we were awarded the TIME Network Award for Strategy from the Institute of Competitiveness. This award serves as a strong and credible endorsement of our S3 strategy and acknowledges that our design, build, maintain value proposition is not only shaping our industry positioning, but also redefining the basis of competition and helping us accelerate our growth. As a part of our ongoing CSR initiatives for the quarter, we have adopted 9 more government schools under this program called Adopt a School Program, supporting underprivileged children, taking the total to 25 schools in all that we support currently, just on the Adopt a School Program. The girl child population in our schools stood in excess of 54%, and that is very gratifying. As a part of our initiative to increase the IT literacy, we have also added 8 more signed digital centers, taking the total to 54. On the infrastructure side, we have opened a nearshore center in Bangalore for one of our customers. We've also started working for another aerospace customer in our Prague center. I'm happy to report that the client has signed an MOU to establish the presence in Telangana with the Medical Technology Park. On the operational update, Cyient DLM business got approved as a product supplier to UTC Aerospace Systems, thus strengthening our 15-year-old relationship. With this, I would now like to hand over to Ajay, who will take you through the detailed financial performance for this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohan. I am on slide revenue at a glance, slide number 6, in case you are having any difficulties with the technology. I'll read out the slide numbers and the titles. If you look at this particular quarter, we have 3.2% growth in services. In DLM, we had anticipated internally the kind of seasonality impact, and it is in line with our internal expectations. We have also reviewed how it looks for the full year, and it's very much on track. If you look at the full year, the year-on-year numbers, we have a growth of 12.8%. And if you look at the left-hand side, you will find that 6 out of 8 verticals have double-digit growth, except for IENR, where we have some challenges. I think all the verticals are growing year-on-year. And aerospace and defense is also picking up. As of now, it's a little muted. And if you look at the bottom chart, the growth is quite widespread across geographies. We are seeing the traction. In terms of the income statement, I'm on slide number 7. You would see that we have made a net profit of 878 million. While if I compare like-to-like in terms of the overall profit for the last quarter, we do have a dip in this quarter. But as all of you know, quarter one for our business is the wage hike quarter. We also had some headwinds which happened because of the rupee appreciation against dollar, which was about 3%. Let me just give a little more commentary about the wage hike. Like the last year, we have done the wage hike in 2 phases. The total impact planned is about 180 to 190 basis points. Half of it has come in quarter one. The rest of it will come in quarter two. And net, if you see, after the wage hike and this 3% foreign exchange impact, we have a gross margin which has improved quarter on quarter. Net operating profit is down by 50 basis points. So that really gives us, for those of you who have been seeing our quarterly performance, a good footing for the rest of the year. In terms of profit after tax, the only thing I would like to highlight when you look at this quarter, the other income continues to be good, which is in line with what we had anticipated looking at the position of our forward covers. Also, I think there has been a headwind in this quarter. You are looking at a tax rate of 31%. I would say if you take out the one-offs, the correct number to look at is 27%. What has happened if starting 1st April, majority of our special economic zones have moved into the 50% tax bracket, as against 100%, which they enjoyed in the previous 5 years. The impact of this is, compared to the last year where we had done 24%, we are expected to clock a tax rate of 26 to 28% this year. This range partly is dependent on how exactly we do in terms of the SEZ headcount increase deployment, which we feel there is a good potential in this year given the growth. Also, it will also depend on some other initiatives. Overall, based on this, we had 18.7% growth in net profit, which is, again, I say, quite nicely done in terms of growth of operating profit year on year, as well as other income, partly taken away by the tax. Coming to the cash generation, as Chairman mentioned, we exceeded 10 billion INR. We are at 10,320 million INR in terms of the cash position, which is about $159 million. In this quarter, we have generated a free cash flow of 767 million, a good conversion of about 42.9%. On services, this number is 49% conversion. So we continue to be at about 50% conversion in services. In case of DLM, we did have a cash consumption, but we are very confident that this is the last quarter where we are seeing the cash consumption by DLM. Going forward, when we look at the next 3 quarters, we are very confident that this number is going to be positive. And as such, for H1, the sigma of quarter one and quarter two itself is likely to be positive. And the cash usage has been in terms of some of the investments which we have been apprising you from time to time, including some of the initiatives on IP development related collaborations. In terms of the hedge book, if you look at the right-hand side, you will see there is a good growth in other income from 265 million of last quarter to 351 million. Most of it continues to come either from the treasury income, which is 115 million, and the realized forward contract, which is 216 million. Again, I repeat, these are actual realized gains on the forward covers. Looking forward, I think this trajectory, at least for the next 3 quarters, should continue because company continues to have the same policy of 70% of net inflows to be covered under the forward covers. The total build-up of that, if you look at the charts in various currencies, is $118 million. And at current spot rates, we anticipate a gain of about $7.2 million, and about $6.2 is in current year, and rest of it is for the next financial year. With this, I would request Krishna to give us an update on investment pipeline and business outlook.
Thank you, Ajay. So, as we've done in the past, I'll give you an update on the M&A and then the outlook on the business and the overall outlook, financial outlook for the year. But in terms of the M&A pipeline, that continues to look strong. There are 7 discussions in the pre-LOI stage and 1 in an LOI stage, which if all goes well, we will announce during the course of the quarter. There have also been a few corporate investments that have been made from a corporate venturing perspective. There's no change in what we've articulated as our active investment pursuits, which we continue to look at, and we're actually seeing some good traction in some of those areas and opportunities. But going to the industry outlook on the global aerospace and defense market, I want to say the quarter was a little bit of a story or two stories in one, in the sense that we're seeing some very good traction both from our existing business, which is the business that we've been doing for a while now, obviously, and also in the new business, which is things like CERTON and also the DLM for aerospace. Overall, the sector is actually doing quite well because there's just a lot of deliveries of aircrafts that are happening globally. Now, as I've said in the past, what that means is there's a lot of opportunities in supporting things like manufacturing, engineering, things like aftermarkets, etc., and not necessarily in new program starts. Obviously, that transition we've made quite well, and we've spoken about that multiple times. And therefore, we believe we're quite well placed, at least to maintain the current levels of business that we see. The communications industry continues to be quite a growth industry at this point, at least the part of the value chain that we are addressing. There's just a lot of investments that are going on for high-speed infrastructure around cable, fiber deployment, etc. Also, there's a lot of investments that are going on in areas like small cells, which is basically a way to enhance 4G networks before 5G networks come in. And we have some very, very strong competencies in these areas. So both in Asia Pacific, specifically Australia, the US, and also in Europe, in all three locations, we're seeing some very strong traction in communications. And we believe that that will continue at least for the foreseeable future. The UNG industry, which is the next industry I'll talk about, again, the industry itself is going through a bit of a transformation because, as most of you know, this industry is something where infrastructure has been placed for a while. Companies are really leveraging the infrastructure, and investments only happen every so often. But what we're seeing is the proliferation of a lot of the sort of the so-called digital technologies, be it advanced metering, smart grids, all those kind of self-correcting networks, all those kinds of things are coming in, which means that there is a fair amount of opportunity to invest in these areas. Our outlook, therefore, remains quite positive. Both the existing business and also the data capture business, which if you recall is the Blom acquisition we did late last year, both of them continue to do well, and we're quite confident on what is happening there and how business growth is coming and the momentum that will carry on for the rest of the year. The rail transportation industry is also witnessing some large-scale investments in infrastructure globally. There's a 3% expectation of growth this year. We are obviously very, very well positioned. We work with pretty much every major rail OEM. If you look at it, this business unit did exceptionally well this quarter. We had a double-digit year-on-year growth, and we had close to actually a double-digit quarter-on-quarter growth. The momentum continues there. We don't see any challenges, at least through the rest of the year, and therefore I'm quite confident we'll be able to leverage the overall growth in the rail transportation industry. IENR, which is Industrial Energy and Natural Resources, we continue to have a challenge here. The market is soft, and our historic service offerings here around mechanical design, some amount of electronics, etc., don't really resonate very well in a soft market. While we continue to work well with some of the largest companies in the sector, we believe that we do need to transform our services a little bit, and that's why there's a lot of focus on things like telematics, electronics, Internet of Things, analytics, etc. But this is the one area that will be a concern through the rest of the year. Again, the good news is it's about 7 or 8% of our revenue, so the bearing is quite limited, but this is definitely a soft sector, at least as I see it for the rest of the year. The semiconductor industry is also doing very well. Actually, if you look at the growth in the industry, it's expected to be 7.2%, which for an industry of that size is actually very, very significant. That's also translating to good business for us. If you look at the growth quarter on quarter, it's been very strong. We will see a little bit of softness from revenue perspective there, just because we're also trying to transition a lot of the overseas work into India, but that will also be quite helpful from a margin perspective. But net-net, I'll say the momentum is there. That business has done very well in Q1. It will continue to do quite well through the rest of the year. And also, as you may recall from the last few times, we have new leadership, and I think finally we have some very good stability in that business that will help us deliver some pretty good numbers for the year there. The next set of industries are the medical technologies and medical devices. Again, Another industry that's growing quite well, a CAGR of 4.5% on a $340 billion industry, obviously is quite impressive. There's a lot of emerging trends that are occurring there, be it the proliferation of digital technologies, the proliferation of lower cost devices, smaller devices, etc. And again, we believe that our value proposition there is starting to resonate very well. This is one industry where we're truly doing design-led manufacturing products, projects, which where we take the design, we design, redesign, and then ultimately at least take it up to a prototype stage for a customer to then take it through their regulatory approvals, etc. So we've added three new customers there during the course of the quarter. Three of the largest medical device companies in the world, and when I say added, we've actually done it not just one person, two person type deals, but quite significant, and we'll see this play out over the next 6 months. The lastly, the DLM business unit, which cuts across all these BUs, I think to Ajay's point, I want to substantiate saying Q1 was soft, which was anticipated, which is expected. Also, if you look at it last year, and the year before, we've owned this business. This is the third Q1. Every Q1 has been soft in that business, so there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing to be concerned about there. It's just the cyclicality there. And when I talk about the outlook for the year, I'll reiterate that. But basis the pipeline and basis the, more importantly, basis the backlog and the POs in the system, we're quite confident that we will have a good year over there and going forward. So again, I just want to reassure that Q1 has no special meaning. It's just Q1s are soft. That's the nature of that business, and that's what it was this year. So if I summarize this, I'll say the future outlook for FY18 remains what it was when we spoke at the beginning of this year. We will see double-digit growth in the services business. If you see, there was a 3.2% quarter-on-quarter growth in the services business. There was also a double-digit year-on-year growth, and we continue to see the momentum, so I'm very confident that we'll see double-digit growth there. The DLM growth will be 20%+. Again, I'm saying this basis the backlog and the pipeline that we have, or actually basis the backlog that we have, not even the pipeline. So I'm quite confident that DLM will grow 20%+. Margin expansion will be 50 basis points or so through operational efficiency. We broke it down a little bit. We are seeing the benefits of especially things like pyramid correction, which we put a lot of work into over the last couple of quarters. So we're still quite confident. If you look at the, in spite of the currency headwinds and in spite of the wage hike, the drop in operating profit was about 50 basis points, which is absolutely something that we anticipated. And we've built that into our budget, and with that, we're confident that we will come back to a plus 50 for the year, and you'll see some good improvement in Q2, which will substantiate that. And net-net, while to Ajay's point, tax has been a concern in Q1, we believe that there are a number of initiatives in place that will also mitigate some of that effect. I don't want to say negate, because that was also anticipated, given that we've reaped the fruits of the tax SEZ tax benefits for a year, for 5 years. This was anticipated, so I don't want to say we'll mitigate it, but we will negate it, but we'll definitely mitigate some of it, and net-net will have a double-digit earning growth. Fundamentally, if you look at the numbers, we actually had a very, very strong Q1, even taking into account the FX and the salary increases. It's just that the tax also hit us a little bit. That's where earnings growth, which obviously was good, but it could have been much better if that wasn't there. So net-net, I want to reassure you that the guidance, or not the guidance, sorry, the commentary that we gave at the beginning of the year absolutely holds for the rest of the year, and we're very confident that we're headed towards those numbers. With that, I think we will open it up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Vishal Desai from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, thanks for the opportunity. Good performance on the services side. Quickly, in terms of the overall outlook that you all are expecting, could you break it up in terms of what is the outlook on your aerospace division and further into the aerospace, what is the kind of traction that we are seeing on the DLM side of the business?
Yes, absolutely. So, if you look at the aerospace, the services business of aerospace, over the last 5 years, we've grown at about a CAGR of close to 10%. I think it's a shade under 10%, but about 10%. The services business this year, and I'm just talking about aerospace here, the services business in aerospace this year will probably grow a little bit lower than that we're expecting. There are some headwinds that we are facing. There are also some good opportunities. So net-net will grow somewhere in that ballpark, slightly lower than that. But where we're seeing significant opportunities in the aerospace business is with the DLM opportunities. We have a couple of contracts that have been signed, POs that have been issued, where we are beginning what's called the NPI, or the new product introduction, that's really doing the first couple of products, doing the engineering, which also is a significant portion of that. So once those start kicking in towards from Q3 onwards, we see some very significant opportunities kicking in the aerospace DLM. So taking that into account, we will definitely see a double-digit growth in the aerospace business, all put together. Services will, just pure services will be under 10%, but once you add the DLM, it will be about 10%.
Sure. And if I could just break it down further in terms of the MRO opportunity.
Hello? Yes.
Just in terms of the MRO opportunity that we are currently witnessing, could you give some color in terms of the kind of wins that we are seeing or any kind of trends that we are seeing given our GSEA acquisition?
So the most of the growth, or a lot of the growth, is coming from MRO aftermarkets, manufacturing, engineering. So we've seen a number of wins. I don't want to talk about the specifics because there's some sensitivity there, but we're seeing a number of wins, both with we've seen a couple of Asian customers and also a couple of sort of Western customers. So across the board, we're seeing some good wins for the MRO type of business. I'll call it basically the aftermarket and support business.
Sure. Ajay, quickly, if you could just help me understand what are the levers that we have for a 50 bip expansion in margin, and particularly in terms of utilization and any kind of pyramid data that you could provide us to understand what kind of correction are you further in, Sajay?
Yes, I think what we are seeing is that utilization, for example, if you look at where we ended last year and what has been the performance this year, has huge potential of improvement, and that's what we said at the beginning of the year. That's a very important lever for us. At least we feel we can improve by 2 to 3% during the year across verticals, and that impact is really not there in current quarter results, where we have already seen some improvements. If you see in terms of the pyramid corrections and SG&A, we have said about 150-170 bps we can get from that. This quarter, we had seen good traction already coming in from improvement in on-site margins, as well as the deal margins on the new business on on-site is also improving. Offshore, in certain cases, on mature businesses has also been improving. So I would say this is where the benefits are coming. While, you know, depending on how we perform in each of the seven verticals, somewhere it will come from utilization, somewhere from pyramid, somewhere from offshoring. Overall, as a group, we are confident that, you know, we will be able to offset the wage hike and a little bit of pricing pressure through these operational improvements.
Sure. So just one last thing from me. Currently, margins are at around 12.8% at EBITDA levels. Are we expecting any kind of uptick in Q2, or do we expect it to be impacted given that we are expecting half of the wage hike cost to kick in as well?
So as we spoke, see, the 92% of the revenue has come from services business,
right.
And the margin in services business is 14.6% for this quarter. That's after the, you know, the currency headwind, after the wages headwind. We are very, very confident, as Krishna said, there is going to be good growth. There is going to be good improvement on operational efficiencies. And you will see good evidence of this margin improvement in next quarter. And also, if I may comment about DLM, as you know, we are looking at a scenario last year where we have, we are breaking even at operating profit level. So we are very sure that, while this quarter we did about, given the very low volumes and some other headwinds, we did about minus 7% operating margin. We are very confident the worst case is where we were last year. So at least we don't have any headwind at all from DLM. And services, as I said, is absolutely on track right from the quarter one.
Sure. Thanks, guys. All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Next question is from the line of Srivatsan Ramachandran from Spark Capital. Please go ahead. Srivatsan Ramachandran, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Krishna, I wanted to get your thoughts on the strong growth we've seen in Europe or continental Europe, as the case may be. Is it something you'd anticipated, or is there some positive surprise also to see the kind of growth we've seen?
So I think this is something that we anticipated, Srivatsan. I think one of the good things that's happening is on aerospace, last 2-3 years, we've had a little bit of a soft run in Europe, and Europe primarily. So I think that was that's coming back, which is good. Also, there's a good ramp up in comps with Liberty Global is kicking off. That's been helpful. And the third thing is Bombardier has been doing very, very strongly, and that's something that we've been anticipating for a while. So I would say there's nothing here that we did not necessarily see coming through. And I'll say the other thing is, you know, the rest of the customers, all of them did what we expected to do, so there was no negatives also. So that being the case, I wouldn't say anything that we didn't expect happened.
Sure. And on the overall scenario, is there any sense of, especially in UK, given the way pounds kind of played out sustainably, is there a chance of any price hikes with any of the existing customers that's possible, given the profitability in those aspects would have been taken hit, given the way pound has especially moved in the last 12-18 months? It's sustained at these levels. Any thoughts, any conversations, and what's been client feedback?
I think price increase at this point is, or at least basis the currency price increase, is not necessarily sustainable conversation or a conversation we can have. I think if you look at it, a lot of these longer term contracts also we had signed, for example, when the pound was 80, 85, 5 years ago or 6 years ago. So I think immediate pushback. Again, there are some specifics where things are different. Like if we have a low margin account with pound, and therefore, you know, we can go back and have an argument to have with the customer. But in general, I'd say, you know, the immediate pushback from most customers is when pound appreciated, we didn't get a discount. So when pound depreciates, why would we give you a price increase?
Okay, thanks. I'll come back later.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Rateria from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Krishna. Could you please help us understand what really happened in the utilities vertical? You talked about ramp down in few customers.
I think it was just anticipated. Southern California Edison, which is a big part of that business, continues to go well. It's just that there are quarters where we do more work and less work, because there's also the input to that is field work, so we actually need to have the sort of people on the ground who can go into the field and look at some of the data, etc. So SE is one where it's just cyclical, and this quarter we anticipated lower work. There's one or two projects that have ended. We do have backfills for them. There's, for example, a large utility project in the U.S. that will kick off, or that's kicked off. It's just that we anticipated it to kick off a little bit earlier. So this was actually, if you look at that business from a budget perspective, they're pretty much on budget, or they're about $100,000 above budget, which for a $25 million business is quite good. It's just that's the cyclicality of the business.
Sure. Is there any moderation or change to your outlook within the services business? Because last time you were mentioning that services will grow in double digits in fiscal 18, in similar to fiscal 17. Now that comment is not there.
No, I think it will still be in line with fiscal 17. I think that's expected. So yeah, I still hold the in line with fiscal 17.
Sure.
I think it's just an oversight that we didn't put them.
Yeah, on the DLM part, have you seen any meaningful conversations with respect to that part of the business really starting taking, or is really starting getting traction this part of the year, or do you think this will be largely a F19 phenomena? And you also talked about turning cash positive. Does it mean that on the margin side, the DLM business will start showing a turnaround from 2Q itself?
So I think on first on the business, I'd say there have been a lot of conversations on the synergy revenue from our existing customers, and there's just a number of conversations in aerospace and defense and medical, because these are the two focus areas, and maybe transport to some extent, three focus areas. So we are seeing some meaningful conversations, and between Q2 and Q3, we'll also start to talk about them, because right now we still haven't delivered anything, so it wouldn't be prudent to talk about it. But in Q3 onwards, especially, we'll see us delivering to those contracts. So that's what gives us the confidence that we will have a strong strong Q3 on. Actually, Q2 onwards, it will be pretty. Signal are pretty decent. Now, in terms of the margin, we are still in an investment mode there. So we will, from an operating margin perspective, we will be about a break even for the year. Cash, we will be better, because as right now we're consuming cash because we're building up inventory and we're building up a lot of product for Q2 onwards. So once we start liquidating that product and that inventory, the cash will turn positive. But again, like I said, we're still in a pretty significant investment phase. So margin will be in the break-even range is what we are looking at right now.
Sure. Lastly, on the tax rate, this is largely unanticipated because last time the discussion was that the tax rates will keep coming down on a year-on-year basis. And this SEZs coming out of the five-year window would have been largely known. So what's the disconnect?
So I think what we have, where the challenge has been, that in the last two quarters we had anticipated in quarter four as well as in this year, as per our internal plans, we had anticipated 300 people each to be further added into the SEZs. This is where, we have not been able to track to the target. In some ways it's a good news, because if you see, a lot of growth is coming without a proportionate addition of the headcount, which is helping us on the margin side. But yes, you are right, Gaurav. Some of it, when we looked at the actual impact, some of it we had not expected to this extent. But I would say that's water under the bridge. Going forward, as we say, if we do nothing, the one-off tax rate, after the one-off, the new reality is 28%. And depending on the initiatives and the SEZ ramp up, it could be 26 to 28%.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mohit Jain from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First is on your order intake that you disclose on a quarterly basis. So there is no growth if I look at it from a YOY perspective. So how should we read that number?
I think order intake from a services business, it is flat YOY. There's no growth YOY from a services business. Overall, I think there is about a 9% growth.
It is exactly opposite of what we are building in terms of growth. Like we are building in 20% sort of growth in DLM and 10% in services.
Yeah, but it's also, there's just cyclicality there. I wouldn't read too much into it because just the way that our orders come in, because backlog, if you look at it, is higher by $20 million compared to last quarter. It's just that intake is a little bit lower in Q1. But again, there's nothing to be concerned about in that because when we look at customers and we look at it by sector and customer, we don't see any challenges in terms of delivering the growth that we had that we commented on. So it's just a cyclical thing, and we will make it up in Q2 and second half of the year.
So what I'm looking at is executable in the current fiscal year, which is FY18. So 127 million for services versus 125 in 1Q17.
Correct.
So this includes total backlog, right? Or is it only the order intake part of?
No, this is just the order intake. Backlog we haven't been disclosing externally because we're still cleaning up the system a little bit. But this is just the intake. It's not the backlog.
Well, we should probably look at it on a TDM basis sort of.
Yeah, exactly. And also the Q1 is always a low quarter because what happens is in Q4, a lot of the big orders for the year come in. TomTom, Pratt & Whitney, all those come in. So Q3 and Q4 are typically the big quarters. So I wouldn't worry too much about
them. Right. Second is on your DLM side.
Yeah.
If I look at the raw material cost, that is going up sharply as percentage of revenues. So I was just wondering, why would that happen in that particular business? That directly impacts our gross margin.
So it's just a mix issue. I mean, this quarter we delivered a lot of the business where it's more material intensive.
On a full-year basis, do you anticipate a decline in gross margin in DLM? This is excluding employee costs.
As we already explained, we really do not. This is the worst. We are 100% confident, both in terms of margin and cash. This is the worst quarter. We are going to be, in terms of margin, at least where we were last year, the break-even. That's what I would say. So only side is only up, and don't look into the cost components. What we have to track is the operating profit and the gross margin, because the rest of it is depending on the type of order and how much is the content of value addition and things like that.
I think just to that, I'll reiterate. Just this, this happens every year in Q1. It's happened last two quarters. We're very, very confident of the year. I wouldn't sort of, put my credibility on the line and say very, very, very confident. So it's just, it's a quarterly thing. Don't worry about it too much.
Understood. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sakar Lele from Motilal Oswal Securities.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Krishna, apart from the top 2-3 customers in aerospace, you've got several marquee names that have large potential for scaling up. And at the same time, I guess here you'd not have to worry too much about new programs getting dried out because already small in size. So how do you look at penetrating these customers over a slightly longer duration with more relevant service offerings and hence scaling them up? Referring purely to the services business here, not DLM.
I think there's a number of opportunities there which we're addressing because, to your point, the new programs are not there, but there's just a lot of things around existing programs programs that are ramping up. There's things like a significant portion of our business, if you look at it now, is around aftermarkets, manufacturing, engineering. Also, there's a large portion of our business which is electronics and avionics. Avionics refresh cycle is actually much quicker than mechanical. So even if there's no new program, if you look at an aircraft, the electronics are typically 3 to 4 years old, whereas the actual aircraft might even be 30 years old. So the two, therefore, if you look at the strategy of the aerospace business, and again, just in the services, The two areas of focus are aftermarket and MRO, that's one set, and the second set is avionics and electronics. So these are the two areas that we're really focused on, and we're seeing some good traction in both these areas.
So it would be safe to say that probably barring this year, you could return to that 10% CAGR that you've been historically witnessing in the vertical?
Yeah, we should be back. I mean, I think this year is just a reset a little bit in where things are. But I think that kind of potential is definitely there. And if you look at even today, there's a very significant conversation that's happening with one of the large OEMs on just that issue.
Great. Also, could we have a quick update on Softential as well, probably just in terms of revenue as well as stability, if they're back to where the business was a few quarters ago?
So the honest truth is it's not in a great shape. We're making sort of around a 10% operating margin at about $2.5 million. I mean, sorry, not two, two and a half, sorry, $3.5 million of revenue. Again, you know, it's not in great shape, to put it really bluntly. But I think the comms business, given the traction that we're seeing in the comms business, the plan now is to really dovetail on that traction because, you know, we are becoming a very significant player on the network side of the business. We are winning some very good deals. So that's giving us the credibility to also pitch the service management and assurance. It is one area, if you look at the comms business, which has grown 20%+ last year and will also grow 20%+ at least this year, That's the one heartburn for Sanjay Krishna and his team. And again, all I'll say is we're working on it. We're working on it.
Sure. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Jain from Credit Suisse.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So the first question is on the order book, or the order intake. So the last quarter it was a bit softer than what we expected. So does this lower order intake, and particularly for the next year, does this reflect any kind of impact on visibility on the next year for FY19?
No, it's just one quarter. Q1 is usually a weak quarter. You know, I wouldn't worry about it at all, honestly, because, you know, Q1, this always happens, like I was saying, after strong Q3 and Q4, Q1 typically is a little bit lower. A few orders make the difference. I mean, for all you know, some of the orders in Q1 might have just come in end of Q4, etc. So the backlog is strong. The qualitative visibility is great. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think to an earlier point, look at the last 12 months order intake rather than just the quarterly order intake.
Okay, got it. And the second question was for Ajay on the tax rate. So I know you've already answered the question, but the movement of 300 employees, does this make such a large difference in tax rate? Because earlier you were talking about some 24% tax rate and some improvement in that in next year, FY18, and now you're talking about 26-28%.
Yes, it does make a lot of impact. And as I said, the reason for it is that the ramp up in SEZs has not been happening at the pace that we were expecting. On-site work has been coming more. The net additions have been less. Most of those net additions have been at on-site. So I think these are the reasons where ramp-up could not take place. If we get, 300 to 600 people, we move towards 26%. If we go to, 1,000 people in SEZ, we will move towards 24-25%. That's a huge backlog to be cleared for the last year and this quarter four of last year and quarter one of this year.
Okay, so this 20.
So as I said, let's take 26-28% as the new norm. That's what we should take into account.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions. You know, first question is on DLM. I know it's been asked in other forms before, but to just elaborate about this, the DLM order intake was pretty strong for last quarter, and this quarter again, we've got strong order intake, but this is not really translating into revenue. So when should we see this pick up?
So Q2, you'll see a good pickup, and from there onwards, you'll see some good revenue. I think the problem with DLM is once you get an order for us to do the NPI and the engineering, the NPI, and then get the materials, et cetera, in place, it's at least a 3 to 6 month runway. And we don't typically order materials till we actually get the PO because, we don't want to be left with that inventory. So unlike, say, the services business where anticipating growth will recruit people, there we can't really either do NPI because we won't have the specifications till the PO is there, or order material because there's a big bearing on cash and inventory. So that being the case, you'll see some good, I mean, Q2 onwards, you'll see some good numbers.
So Ravi, if I may just add to what Krishna said, some time back we have not met our expectation while we were learning about this business. I would be very surprised if there is no positive surprise on this 20% ballpark growth. That's how we see it internally.
Great, sir. And secondly, according to my calculations, we saw about a 3% growth in billing rates, realization QOQ. This is factoring for the new way that you reported the utilization, including paid leave and overtime. How much of this is due to cross-currency gains, and how much would you say is really an improvement, because even on-site has not really gone up. So this really looks like a sustainable realization improvement to you?
We're stumped.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think the way we look at it is, for everybody's benefit, we were looking at a situation where the utilization was not giving us the right ability to manage the improvements. So what was happening when you used to look at the overtime having done in many of the situations, especially in this on-site that you're referring to, we will cross the utilization to 100%. That made us think that, where this should be part of the capacity. So the new definition is in the capacity, we are also counting the overtime hours so that both numerator and denominator have it. Having said that, typically it has brought down our utilization by 2%. So if you look at this quarter, like-to-like basis, we have a reduction of about 1.1% quarter-on-quarter. And as I said earlier, that we expect 2 to 3% utilization improvement during the year. So I think with the growth coming in with limited net additions, what it means is that there is huge lever for utilization improvement. I would not link it too much on the realization side. I think it is just on doing more with the same or with less.
All right, sir. Thank you. Best luck.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Urmil Shah from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Ajay, my question was as regards the full year basis, the improvement in the operational margin. Should we expect it to be a very strong improvement in the second half or Q2 onwards when, apart from the half of the impact of the salary increase, we should see a gradual improvement from Q2 itself?
See, I think you have seen our trends. So as we said, in quarter two, you would see that our margin will significantly improve despite half the impact of the wage increase. Because we are really seeing good traction in quarter two is going to be much, much better than the current quarter on services itself. Not only that, the DLM will pick up what they should have done for H1. For this, we would see. So I think you will see a good improvement in quarter two. And then continuously with the guided growth, SG&A absorption, opportunities for operational efficiencies as we grow, you will see definitely a gradual increase. It can't straight go in services from 14.6 to, let's say, 16.6 or 17%. It will be gradual at the rate of about 0.7% to 1% per quarter.
Sure, thanks. That was helpful. And I know it's unpredictable on the currency part, but looking into FY19, on the services business, are we confident that we can at least maintain margins despite the currency headwinds?
So I think it is difficult for us to comment about financial year 19. What we are saying is the impact of the currency at the current rates, let's say about 64.5 or 64.7, are already baked into what we have seen for quarter one. It is already baked into our commentary of 50 basis points improvement year on year. I think when we come to financial year 19, we will look at the challenges and opportunities and margins. At this time, to make any comment on the impact of currency beyond that is very difficult.
Sure, thanks. That was helpful.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harit Shah from Reliance Securities.
Thank you. My question has been answered.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities.
Thanks for the opportunity. Krishna, one question to you was with respect to DLM. I mean, it's good to know that you stay put on the 20% guidance, but just from a longer-term strategic roadmap for you. So while that is roughly $65-odd million of revenues, could you throw some light on how much of that would actually currently be sinking in with your S3 strategy or, wherein your services and products combined versus versus what would still be pretty much standalone rank sense, so to speak?
So I think, it's like you said, it's a small part of our business. So therefore, the synergy part is even smaller. Right now, it's about 10% of that this year will be from the S3. Going forward, it will get bigger. But right now, it's about 10% of the revenues because of combined services and manufacturing.
Okay. And would that be concentrated in a particular segment or vertical?
Primarily aerospace. Well, it's mostly aerospace, right? Aerospace and some medical.
Got it. And the second question was around the transportation vertical. So, we saw a pickup after quite a long time, I think almost 8-9 quarters of $11 to $12 million revenue range. So just wanted to understand from you, this 3% growth in the overall market, how do you see this transpire into growth for Cyient from here on, and what are your views on the sustainability of that growth trend?
So I think we will see, Q1 was good, Q2 onwards also we'll see some reasonable growth. I think the thing is when we get a disproportionate sort of tailwind when the market grows by 3%, right? Which means that there's a lot of new programs that are being designed and which is good for us. So we continue, I'll say this momentum will continue. Again, we won't see, I think this quarter we saw a double-digit growth year on year. We won't necessarily see a significant growth quarter on quarter, but this number will continue to grow through the rest of the year.
Got it.
It might not grow I think sequentially we grew 7% or 8%. It won't be that much, but it will continue to grow through the year.
That's helpful. And
just add, I think like we have seen, based on the market pickup, extremely good growth in communication. I think looking at the traction in the market, I think you should expect another kind of communication story for transport in this particular year.
Understood. And just lastly from my side, and sorry if this has been addressed before, but on the aerospace side, so while you mentioned that there is a lot of demand in the aftermarket and manufacturing segment, and you have also established your presence, but growth for Cyient has been a little bit on the softer side for some time now. So just wanted to know, how do you see that pickup going forward, or is there anything that needs to be achieved for this to really accelerate from current numbers?
No, I think we're doing what needs to be done. I think we're well positioned. We will continue to see some reasonable growth in aerospace. We are doing what we need to do. And again, it's a continuous process because obviously we need to learn and adapt and get better. But I think we're very well positioned for that.
I mean, just add, Krishna. I think if you see that, you know, I think all this is leading to you're trying to understand whether we can get to the growth of last year levels. I think some of the mix could change. For example, that, you know, we had two businesses which were in negative last year growth. This year, we don't expect anyone to be this thing except industrial and
INR,
which could be probably flat. The number of businesses which will grow in double digit is going to be probably one of the best. So I think if you have to look at that, you know, in our kind of business serving so many industries, some of the composition will change. That's why I highlighted, for example, communication, transport, medical and healthcare, semiconductor, UNG, all of them are really firing in double digit. So that's where you have to see the overall picture.
Understood. Thanks, thanks. That's it for myself and all the best.
Thank you. Well, that was the last question. I now hand the floor over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal for his closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating in the call. I will hand over the call to Mr. Reddy for final remarks. Thank you.
So thank you very much for participating in the call today. As Krishna and Ajay have told you, we delivered a good quarter consistent with what we have so far committed to you. And we still see positive traction for our business in coming quarters. And certainly, we continue to look forward to your support. Thank you very much for being in the call today. Have a good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Securities, we conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.